You're listening to Not Your Average Culture, a podcast geared towards promoting less consuming and more doing, where I discuss topics related to dating, lifestyle, creatives, and entrepreneurship. This podcast will challenge you to open up your mind, think about things differently, and ask yourself, am I doing it for the culture or doing it for myself? I'm your host, Chardonnay. Let's get to it. Hi everyone, thanks for tuning in to Not Your Average Culture podcast. This week's topic falls under the relationship category, and this was such a fun episode to record because it was just some fun girl talk about, you know, the cultural norm of dating. We touched on a little bit about dating yourself before actually dating someone else, and we talked about a little bit of conversational starters for women that, you know, want to break the ice and break the tradition of waiting on a guy to ask you out and just being the first person to, you know, take that first step. So in this episode, I got a chance to speak with author and transformational speaker Sierra Thurman, who not only shares some gems on this episode, but also shares her experience on a national televised breakup on the Steve Harvey Show. And she also gives us some traits and things to look for when determining if you are dating someone who is long-term relationship material. Because let's be honest, dating is not always easy. It can be complicated at some time. So here we go. Ladies, this episode is for you. If you are currently dating and trying to gauge, is your relationship going anywhere? We get into all of this. So I'm really excited about this episode and let's get into it. Thank you. You too. I am good. I'm just going to give the listeners a little bit of background about like how I found out about you and everything. So basically, I was interviewing Justin Camper, who is the founder of JC Productions / lawyer and my dear friend, and he was basically asking me like the progress of how I was, you know, doing with developing the podcast. And I mentioned to him like, yeah, it's going good. I'm just looking for someone to speak with regarding relationships for the relationship category of my podcast. And he mentioned you because you spoke at his Love Fest event. So I'm like, yeah. Okay, so here we are, and I'm excited because I'm hoping that, you know, maybe you can teach us a little bit of something about relationships, because relationships, whether it's with, you know, guys or friends and family, it's not an easy topic. So, you know, I am ready to chop it up about it.
I'm ready too.
Can you please share with listeners who you are and explain a little bit about what you do?
Sure. My name is Sierra Thurman. I am an author, an entrepreneur, and a transformational speaker. I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago. I spent most of my summers down south with my family in Arkansas, so I consider myself a city girl with a little southern hospitality. I went to school at Loyola University. There, I got my master's degree. I also played Division I basketball. So, yeah, that's just a little bit about me.
Wow, that's what's up. You play sports, too? You kind of did it all. So, I understand you are currently a transformational speaker and author. Can you share with listeners how you got into that?
Sure. So, I actually have been writing since I was a little girl. I got into it because, for me, it's always been like therapy. So whether it was like little poems, me keeping a journal growing up, it's just something that I always found is like an outlet. My first book came about, it's called My Life, the One He Never Got to Witness. I actually have it here. Okay. You can see that. Mm-hmm. But that was written just more so about my upbringing. My father was murdered when I was 2 years old. So I wrote about that experience. I wrote about what it was like growing up as a daddyless daughter. I wrote about growing up in the hood and the not so good neighborhood, and really just telling people that despite your circumstances, despite your upbringing, never become a victim to your circumstances. And you have the ability to rewrite your story. So that was that one. The second book is Sometimes the Breakup is the Blessing. And this book was birthed, again, from my own personal experience. I went on the Steve Harvey Show. I was dating my ex-boyfriend to see if we could rekindle. I'm pretty sure you can figure out how that went. Not good. But that book was birthed from that experience. And, yeah, it's just some of the lessons that I learned along the way in exiting this toxic relationship.
Okay. Now, how did you end up on the Steve Harvey Show? Like, what made you even explore going back to talk to your ex and to do it on television?
Girl, okay, that's a good question. Actually, me and my ex, we were broken up for a year before this opportunity presented itself. He had literally been back in my life for maybe 2 weeks or trying to come back into my life. I still wasn't having it. Like, no, I ain't about to try that again. And he helped me with a do-it-yourself, like, home project. I love, like, HGTV and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So he was helping me build my patio set. And after we completed it, he was like, we should go to the movies to celebrate. Like, that's something that we always did together was go to the movies. We literally got on joggers. We got paint around on our face. We looking a hot mess. But I said, you know what? Okay, he helped me with this project. I'll at least do that. So we were in the car on our way to the show when I got an email. It was so random. I know I was in their database because I had sent information to them about my first book. But it was my mom who told me she thinks that he contacted the show about what's going on. Because randomly, I'm in a car with my ex, haven't been with this man in a year. And I get the email about me going on the show. And do I have an ex-boyfriend that I possibly want to rekindle with or find some closure with? So I'm looking at him out the side of my eye. I'm looking at my phone, looking at this email. I'm like, is this a sign from God? Like, am I supposed to be with this man? So it was so random. Like, I didn't know anything about the show concept. I didn't contact them. They actually contacted me. And I asked him about it. I told him about the email. Asked him, was it something he'd be interested in? And we literally filled out the application before we went into the movies. And by the time we got out of the movies, the producers were contacting us to do the next steps.
Wow, that is crazy how fast it all happened. And then the way it happened, yeah, it just seems like it was natural. So I didn't get a chance to see the episode. What happened during the episode with you exploring your relationship with your ex?
So I appeared on the Steve Harvey Show 4 different times. With my ex, it was 3 different occasions. So it was like a series. It was called the 30-Day Date Exes Edition. So the cameras were following us around for 30 days. My ex and I had to move in together. And they were literally saying, if we're going to give this another shot or if we're going to find closure and go our separate ways. Pretty much we had to explore the issue of why we broke up in the first place. That was something that I don't think my ex was ready to address because it was due to his infidelity. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the same reason we broke up the first time was the reason we ended up breaking up again, but this time on national television, because he cheated with his ex.
Wow. He cheated even knowing Girl. That it was cameras following him?
So the cameras don't follow you 24/7, but the cameras are always there. Like, even in the house that we moved into, they had cameras like all around the house. But yeah, he thought he was going to be able to sneak to his real house and meet up with this girl and no one would find out about it. They found out about it. They told me about it. I'm like, well, I want to meet up with her. So I met up with the girl at this, for coffee. We went to, at this little coffee restaurant. We sat down face to face, had this conversation. I explained to her that me and my ex were trying to rekindle, and I was curious as to what their relationship was mm-hmm. at the time, if they had one, if they had started back dating. And she told me, yes, I'm still seeing him. Yes, we having sex. Oh, and we was just together last week.
What?
Oh, really?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
That is crazy. And it's, I actually had a similar situation like that where I was dating an ex. Well, at the time, we were dating or whatever. And then I found out that it was another person in the story. And you would think that, you know, like, I'm going to handle this like a woman, like a grown person, and just, you know, reach out to the girl and just try to figure out, like, did she know about you? And, like, right. just kind of, like, be mature about the situation and address her. But it's almost like when you sometimes, in some situations, personally for me, it's like when you address that situation with them, it's kind of like it's defensive, not like let's not be cool with this dude for, you right. know, dating the both of us. It's more so like he minds, you gonna have to find your yeah. own, we've been doing this yeah. so that's crazy. But I do want to applaud you for trying to, you know, address it maturely, because that's what we should do.
Well, you know what? This is something that most people don't even know, because this wasn't on the show. That same girl, she was actually the reason we broke up a year prior. So his phone was blowing up 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? He tell me, oh, that's my ex. We just friends now. Now, ex, first of all, why you got to be friends with your ex? Y'all ain't got no kids together. Y'all ain't got no businesses together. What y'all doing? And if she your friend, why she calling you at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning? Exactly. Like, come on, bro. Like, really? So I told him, I don't know what's going on, but you need to take care of it. We were out of town. And while we were out of town on a trip, she was doing the same thing, blowing his phone up constantly. So I said, since you don't want to take care of it, I'm going to take care of it. I went to answer his phone. Girl, he jumped across the bed like he was high jumping on the train. I said, okay. It's more to this story.
Exactly.
I got back in town. I did my investigation. I found this girl on social media. I sent her a message and I said, we need to talk. This is who I am. I'm trying to figure out your relationship with him because X, Y, and Z. We exchanged information. We talked on the phone immediately. And again, she told me, yes, I know about you. Yes, me and him having sex. And I'm just like, she really bold, but I appreciated her honesty, because at the end of the day, her loyalty wasn't to me.
Exactly.
She didn't know me, but she knew about me. And that's the part that was kind of like, okay, but I can't be mad at her, because at the end of the day, I wasn't in a relationship with her.
Exactly.
I invited this girl to my house. Now, I do not recommend people do this. Do not invite someone to your private residence. I, on the other hand, I felt safe and secure. I invited this girl to my private residence. She arrived prior to my boyfriend. I told her, I'm tired of this back and forth. We all need to sit down and have this talk. Mm-hmm. She hid in the guest room. He walked in. I asked him about her because I wanted her to hear what he tells me about her. Okay. So there's no nothing can be misconstrued. So as soon as he walked in, he see a picture of them two on my laptop, and I'm like, "So this your friend, huh?" So he looking at me, mouth wide open, like, "Oh wow, how did we get here?" So he go on and on, like, "That girl crazy. I ain't with her. She want me back." I said, "Look, I done talked to the girl earlier. She told me that y'all still having sex. She told me X, Y, and Z." He denied. Lie after lie. Finally, when I got sick and tired of him lying, I called her out of the room. I'm not going to say her name right now, but I'll just change her name to Keisha. So I said, "Oh, Keisha." She came out that bedroom and he could not believe it. So we were both standing in my living room looking at him going off. Like, have you lost your mind?
Wow.
Girl, it was crazy. And at the end of that, he said, "I'm sorry." which is code for I'm sorry I got caught, mm-hmm. said, I love you both, and walked out the door.
Wow. That's, so all of this happened on television.
Wait, no, that happened before we even got to the Steve Harvey show. That happened a year prior. That's the reason we broke up in the first place.
Wow, that is crazy. So what actually did Steve Harvey capture on camera? And do you have the link to the show? Is the link going around somewhere where...
Yeah, the show links are on YouTube. You can catch like little small clips. They don't have the entire show posted anymore. Okay. But they're small clips, and I can send those over to you if you want to post it with the interview.
Yes, send those to me, and I'll be sure to include the clips in the show notes and everything. So what... How did the entire situation play out on the actual show?
So on the actual show, my ex-boyfriend, he was trying to win me back. He was trying to, I'm sorry?
And was it the same girl?
Girl, yes. So first of all, he was trying to win me back. He was telling me how much he loved me. He apologizing about what happened in the past. He just want to move forward. He don't want to focus on why we broke up. He want to do better. And again, it was just small little things that kept occurring. We'll be out at dinner and his phone would keep ringing. He would flip his phone down and then excuse himself to the bathroom. Like, okay, I already know that there's somebody calling. You think you slick. Like, I'm not going. So... It was the same, and as women, we have that gut intuition, we have that gut instinct that's telling us something's not quite right, and sometimes we don't pay attention to that, but we really need to pay attention to that. It's signaling us for a reason. Mm-hmm. So pretty much, it ended up being the same girl who was in my living room a year earlier, still in the picture.
Wow, that is crazy. So you went on to write that book after that situation?
Yes, after I appeared on the show, first of all, it's one thing to go through a breakup in the privacy of your own home. It's completely different doing it with the world watching. So I was humiliated. I was heartbroken. I was really crushed on national television. But I didn't realize the effect that my story had. So many people came up to me after the show aired. I'm talking about I'll be in a grocery store. I'll be at the airport, I'll be at the gym, and I had women coming to me telling me how I helped them leave a toxic relationship and how I helped them realize their true value and their true worth. And here I am thinking that my story is for little old me, and here I am being selfish thinking, oh, I just got humiliated on national television, but really, people found strength in that situation. It was relatable. They saw themselves in that situation, and they were able to have enough strength to walk away from something that no longer served them. So ultimately, it was like a blessing in disguise.
Wow, that is crazy. So the book, Sometimes the Breakup is the Blessing. Are you helping women to overcome a bad breakup?
Yes. Absolutely. With the book, I dedicated it to people that are, especially women, in a toxic relationship and you're not sure how to exit that relationship. You're not sure how to find strength to start anew. You're afraid of starting over. And really, you just learning to love yourself a little bit more and you putting yourself on a pedestal and not waiting for someone else to do that. So I just kind of give my lessons that I picked up along the way and my personal experience. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, I'm just sharing what I went through in hopes that it will help someone else.
Got you. So how has, if you don't mind me asking, let me know if this is TMI. So how has dating been after that situation? Like after, you know, the public breakup, are you in a relationship? What's the dating world like for you now?
Okay, immediately after that show, Steve actually brought me back on the show, and Steve himself set me up on a blind date. It was called the Clean Slate Date, and that was, it ultimately ended up being just an amazing day, a great experience, but me and the guy, we didn't work out. As far as dating now, and after appearing on the show, I had all type of people in my DMs and my messages trying to hop down, like, whoa, I saw you on the show. And so to me, you have to like be very mindful, because you may not have the best intentions. So I just took that really, really slow. And currently I'm dating. I don't have a boyfriend. I'm going to say I have someone who's special in my life. And if things continue to go right, then he will get the title. But right now, no one has the title.
So from your personal experience, what are some signs that a relationship might be toxic, or, you know, how do you get the vibe that the person might be right for you? Like, just knowing yourself better personally, what kind of signs do you look for in knowing, like, you know, this might be the one, or, you know, you want to pursue it further?
So for me, because my family's from the South, I have those Southern values, and a lot of people say I've got like the old school way of thinking, but I look for someone who's a gentleman. So I pay attention. Is he opening doors for me? Is he walking on the outside of the street? How does he talk to me? Mm-hmm. I pay attention to how does he talk about his family. I pay attention to what's his faith like. There's so many little indicators that we may miss. We can be out at a restaurant. How is he interacting with the waiter or the waitress? Just his manners in general. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then, what is your conversation like? Is your conversation, oh, I'm just trying to get to your crib so we could hang out? No, we're not doing that. You won't know where I live. You won't see the inside of my home. Because, again, I know my worth. That's very special. I'm a private person. You don't deserve that just yet. So let's go on a few dates. And I'm not saying that he has to be a millionaire and take me on all these expensive dates. Let's just get to know each other outside of a home. Let's go work out together. Let's go for a walk. Let's go grab some ice cream. How about hot chocolate? Let's go to the movies. Let's try something new and adventurous. Let's go to the park. So I don't want people to think, and so many men think like, oh, in order to date you because you got this going on, you got that going on, I got to have all of this money. It's like, no, it's really not about money. It's about the quality time that we're spending. And are you able to keep up a conversation? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's so important as far as your vibe is concerned. Because physically, okay, if you may be attracted to this person, but what else do they have going on for themselves?
Exactly. That is so true. And I especially love the fact that you touched on how they act and interact with people at the restaurant. Because I personally went on a date with someone, and they treated our waiter like they weren't even a person, and I was so turned off. It was like, even after this person has been a complete gentleman to me, it just shows me that, like, you can easily switch up. Like, if you can treat this stranger like they're not worth anything, imagine how you could potentially treat me later on down the line after you've gotten whatever you're hoping to get from me.
And you know what? I'm so glad that you paid attention to that, because when it comes to dating, you have to realize people are going to put their best foot forward. You're not meeting the real person. You're meeting their representative. So in small moments like that, when they think you're not paying attention, those are the ones you should be paying attention to. That's what you need to catch, because that shows who they really are. Who are you when no one else is watching, or when you think no one else is paying attention? That's who you truly are. That's your character. So, yeah, you can front for me and be a gentleman, and you opening the doors the first couple times we go on a date, but don't be fooled by that. Look for the things when they don't think you're paying attention.
Exactly. So, from personal experience of pursuing your goals, what seems to be a common topic or cultural myths or things you were advised by others that you have personally experienced otherwise, regarding, like, you know, being an author, speaker, or even just like dating? What are some myths and things that people have told you?
Well, I would say I think a big myth when it comes to entrepreneurship in general is that you have to go all in from the beginning. You have to quit your 9-to-5. You need to devote all your resources and time to your business that you're trying to kickstart. And that, to me, is a myth. I know plenty of people, myself included, who still have a day job and a 9-to-5, but I use my my evenings and my weekends to devote to my business. Use your job that you have as a resource support into your business. You don't have to do it all at once. You don't have to go cold turkey like that. I relate it to something like smoking. Some people, when they're trying to quit smoking, they have to go cold turkey. That's the only way they can do it. Some people, instead of doing 3 packs a day, now they're going to go down to 2 packs a day. And then maybe 1 pack a day. Maybe they're going to try some nicotine or something like that. So I'm more of the mindset that when you're doing anything, moderation is best. Too much of anything isn't good. So I believe that when you're starting your own business, just make sure you're devoting and being consistent with your time that you're allotting to it. Even if it's 30 minutes to an hour a day, make sure you're consistent with that 30 minutes to an hour. It's going to add up. And eventually, you may be able to leave your full-time job and pursue your business now that it's able to sustain your lifestyle.
Exactly. And I'm so happy that you mentioned that, because that's kind of like what I'm working on now. And to give you a little bit more information about me, long-term, like, I would like to be a creative director of, like, a media company, beauty or fashion, something where it allows me to be creative. I have many different talents, and outside of my normal day job, I'm working on currently creating outside projects such as this podcast. I'm working on my YouTube channel, and hopefully I hope to open up my own personal boutique. And although I have all these things that I'm working on, it's like every day I ask myself, what have I done today that has contributed towards this goal? And so it's good to, like, put that type of information into perspective for people, because a lot of people feel like they see the instant gratification because of social media and everything, when really it's a process. Like, you have to, you know, it's levels to everything, so you have to take your time getting there. So similarly, I know I have my own personal side projects, like this podcast. I followed you on Instagram, and I see that you're very into fitness. Did you get into fitness because of, you know, things that you deal with relationships, or it's just always been a part of your regimen?
Well, fitness has always been a part of who I am. I, like I told you, play basketball growing up. I remember when I moved from the inner city to the suburbs, and before I moved from the city, I didn't play any sports. When I got to the suburbs, I'm 5'11", standing in my socks. I feel like I've been this size my whole life. So the coaches at the school was like, "You don't play nothing? We about to put you on everything." So I ran track, I did volleyball. Basketball was something that I was super passionate about, so that's the one that's like my heart. But yeah, when you are playing sports, it translates to other areas of your life, especially as a college athlete. You have to hit that gym, you in the weight room, you doing pool workouts, you doing track workouts, on top of being a full-time student. So it's something that I've always been interested in. I would say as far as my weight loss journey that I'm currently on, that started because of my emotional eating from different situations in my life. So I found myself turning to food as an outlet for the different struggles that I was having. And I didn't even realize that I was using food as like a crutch, and I was using food as a way to face my insecurities. But once I realized that, it was like an aha moment, and I got into fitness and started just sharing it with my social media following so it could help encourage me to stay motivated and on track.
That's what's up. So how do you balance, like, life, dating, being a businesswoman, and fitness? How do you balance everything?
Girl, I wear so many hats. But I say the key for me in balancing everything is just being present and being in the moment in whatever role I'm currently in. So, for instance, I'm also a teacher. So when I'm at school, when I'm doing lesson plans and helping the students, then I'm in teacher mode. That's the hat that I'm wearing. When I'm writing, I'm in writer mode. I don't allow any other outside distractions to get in the way. So I don't care if my phone is somebody texting, calling me. Right now, I'm in this mode that's going to have to wait. So my I would say that despite, you know, wearing a different hat, it's just important to be present and in the moment in whatever role that you're in, because we can easily get distracted with life. We can easily get distracted with family, with friends, with entertainment, with TV. It's so many distractions that can, like, internet, social media. It's so many distractions that can kind of, like, take you off your path, and you end up wasting so much time. So when you're focused, when you're organized, and when you just are present, I think being present is so important. I think you're able to accomplish it.
So real. That is so real. That is so real. So what can we be on the lookout for from you? Like, are you currently working on any other big projects? Are you in the process of writing another book? Or do you have any other, like, speaking engagements that people can come out and hear you?
Yes. So I actually was just speaking yesterday at the African Festival of the Arts in Chicago. But upcoming projects, I am working on my third book. It's actually going to be kind of like combined with my fitness journey. I just found out that I'm going to have knee surgery.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, so I have to do a road to recovery. I've already had 3 knee surgeries, so I know this process and what to expect. And more than physical, it's more mental. So I'm going to journal my road to recovery and just me getting to the best shape of my life and the lessons that I'm learning that translate outside of just getting in shape and how they can translate to life lessons. A lot of the times when I just write from my own personal experience. I look at it like you're an expert on your own life. And if we were just willing to share some of our experiences, we can help so many other people. We could release that dead weight that we're carrying around, those household secrets that we won't share. Because we're taught that what happens in this house stays in this house. Mm-hmm. So people are so private that you're not willing to share. And if we're just willing to share, we could help so many people. Because what happens in this house stays in this house will lead to the destruction of this house. Mm-hmm. So in order for you not to be destroyed by the things that can consume you in your life, you have to be willing to share, be open, just be real. Girl. And I think that's the best way to go.
Girl, you are preaching right now. You are preaching. And I'm personally, like, I'm a private person, but that's what this journey for me is. It's helping open me up as well, because I've learned that too. It's like the more you talk to other people and you find out, like, you're not the only person going through something, it helps you get through that thing. So I definitely, girl, you are preaching. So how can people get in touch with you if they would like to purchase one of your books, or if they want you to come out and speak at an upcoming event?
I can be reached on my website. It's www.sierrathurman.com. That's CIERRATHURMAN. So sierrathurman.com. All of my social media handles are at Sierra Thurman as well. So it's real easy to find me.
Okay. So I am going to conclude this podcast on a lighter note by introducing 3 questions geared towards providing a fun call to action for listeners to take away. So the first one is, what is one thing that you have observed that has become a common trend among people that you would like to challenge people to do or think about differently for 1 week when it comes to dating?
When it comes to dating, I will say one trend is, and even for myself, I grew up with, like, a Southern roots, and so many of my friends think that it's not okay to ask a guy out. And I think that if you don't necessarily want to ask the guy out, you at least need to let him know that you're interested and it's okay for him to ask you out. So I would say maybe this week your listeners can try allowing their friends to set them up on a blind date.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so have you personally ever asked somebody out?
I've never asked someone out, but I've made it known that it's okay for them to ask me.
How do you do that?
So for one, it has a lot to do with your body language. Like for instance, what eyes are you giving the guy? Are you smiling? Are you open with your body language, or are you more closed off? If you're with a group of your friends and it's literally 4, 5, 6 of you all, no guy is going to have the courage to approach you. So maybe try going to lunch by yourself. Maybe try going out, you know, by yourself. That's something that your listeners can try. You don't always have to travel in a pack with your girls. Oftentimes that can be intimidating. So take yourself out. And the guy that's sitting across the restaurant that keep giving you googly ass, you give him googly ass right back. Or approach him and just start a conversation. Oh, I think I know you from somewhere. Or what if they're doing something that you may be interested in, start a conversation about that. So conversational starters, being more open and more extroverted, and just really signaling with your body language that it's okay to approach you.
That's true, because I thought about it one day. I was talking to one of my best friends, and I'm like, man, guys, y'all must have it hard sometimes. Like, y'all, it's almost like you ask every single girl out, and when you're asking, there's a possibility that you're going to be rejected each time. And us as women, we kind of just, in a sense, we almost have it easy because we just, you know, waiting to see who's going to come and approach us. But if we're always sitting back and waiting on a guy to approach us, maybe we're not opening ourselves up to other guys that might be out there if you're only accepting the guys that approach you.
Exactly. So this is something that I actually deal with my friends. I'm actually part of the singles ministry at my church, and this is something that I challenge them to do. And this may be something your listeners want to try. It was called Say Yes No Matter What. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we as women get approached by so many men, and oftentimes before we even get to know the guy, we just automatically turn him down, say no, we don't like the shoes he got on. Mm-hmm. No. We don't like this. No. So it's like, before you just turn a guy away, just say yes. Even if it's just for one date, even if it's just one conversation, just say yes. Because you will be surprised at who you're turning away. So say yes more.
Yes. So that is the culture challenge of the week. Say yes. Don't judge anything else. Just say yes and try
going out. No matter what.
Yes. Try going out on a date and see what happens. So yes, I'm up for the challenge. I'll try it myself. So the next culture challenge, not challenge, but the next culture question is, what general advice or resources can you share with us that can be useful for someone who has experienced a traumatic breakup or embarking on a similar path as you? Other than your book, of course, what other resources and tools help you?
So, for one, strengthening my faith definitely helped. Just talking to God, really getting that relationship intact, and figuring out what part that I contribute or play in that breakup. And I think that really comes down to getting to know yourself a little bit more. So the thing for me is figure out what makes you happy. And I personally did something called 100 Days of Happiness. Mm-hmm. It's where you make a list of 100 things that make you happy. And some people can't even list 5 things that make them happy. Girl. You need to invest. You need to date yourself. You need to figure out what you like outside of a man. So maybe they don't have to do 100 things, but maybe they can do 7 things and try to do 7 things in the next 7 days that makes you happy. So make your list. It can be stuff that you did when you was a kid, running through the sprinklers, having a water gun fight at the beach, trying a new restaurant. So you just make your list of 7 things and you make it your business to do at least one of those things every single day that makes you happy.
That's what's up. So the last thing is I want to have you name 5 things that rhyme with the word culture.
And
you have 5 seconds to do it. So you ready?
I don't know. I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
Here we go.
I'm so not ready. Give me 1 second. Okay. Oh, you on 3 already?
3.
Okay. Vulture. Bulger. I don't know.
You only gave me two words. I need five. I need five.
Girl. How am I gonna, that's a hard one to rhyme
it's
with.
Cool. It's cool. It's cool. I just wanted to get a light laugh out of you.
And sculpture is one. Sculpture.
Sculpture. Okay. Okay. So we got three. We got three. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming on to my first season of the podcast. I really appreciate it. You definitely dropped some gems for everybody. And I'm going to actually, you know, get one of your books. I'm going to check out the links because, girl, you was dropping some gems today.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for having me. I'm glad I was able to spend some time with you and your listeners. And yeah, I wish you luck on this journey. You can always contact me if you need advice on something on your entrepreneur journey. I'm here as a listening ear. Just think of me as a big sister.
Aw, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So there you have it, everyone. This was the relationship episode with Sierra Thurman. We covered so much about relationships and, you know, how she got over her experience and just how she handled things. And I think some of the key takeaways from this episode, something that she shared was knowing yourself outside of a man. That was such a real statement because it's like, how do you know how you want someone else to treat you if you haven't even treated yourself and you don't personally know what you like? So I thought that was a key takeaway. Another key takeaway was paying attention to how your date treats others. Sometimes that can be a pre-warning sign of maybe he could possibly switch up on you, or just maybe what he's showing you currently at the moment is not how he authentically is. So I thought that was a very key point to make, that you know, pay attention to how your date treats others. And then last but not least, the cultural challenge, which was say yes.
Say yes, say yes, say yes.
I'm not saying say yes and give your goods up to everybody that asks and giving your time up to everyone that asks, but to definitely explore beyond the surface features, explore behind that nice shiny car. Some females like dudes that can keep up with the latest shoes, the latest trends. Gold grill, chains, whatever your preference may be. Look beyond those surface features. And I don't know, maybe you are someone that feels like you are always attracting the same type of guy. This is 2018. In my opinion, ladies, we have to approach the dating game differently. We have to step up and initiate that first point of contact and show them that we're interested. And lastly, what I thought what was so mature of her is how she handled the situation with reaching out to the other person. Is so many times I see females, when they find out that there's another person in the picture, you automatically want to attack the female, and now it's like you have to not only ask the person maturely, ask her, hey, like, what's up, what's going on, but also ask the guy, like, is he portraying the situation with the other person in the picture to be something different? Is he making her out to be a crazy person? I think it's so important that we openly have these conversations and address the issues instead of just attacking the other female that may be in the picture. Address both the other person as well as the guy and see what is really going on. So that's all I have for this week. Till next time, peace, love, and everything in between. I'm out. Mwah. Oh, and by the way, let me know what you think about this episode. Feel free to rate this episode on whatever streaming platform you are listening to, or leave me a review so that way I can have some feedback on if this is a topic that I should continue on into the next season. So thanks for tuning in.